Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Today's topic is Dark Nights of the Soul. If you want to join us live, please jump in here and you can raise your hand. We'll unmute you or ask your question in the chat room and we'll be glad to answer it live. If you're watching or listening later, the email address is in the show description. Please email us your question. We're happy to help you at any time. The reason I know we're talking about a dark subject, but I have this bright, sunny flower on the screen because today's show is not dwelling on dark nights of the soul, but more about how to avoid them and how to get out of them, how to recover from one. If you've ever had a dark night of the soul, I don't need to tell you what it is, but for those of you who have been blessed or you just didn't know you went through one, it's when you think so many things happen, it just takes you down at every level, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. And it seems to be when things tend to pile on at once and you just are so over your head, you can't even see light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, I personally have been through a couple of those. And it's a subject I was telling Terri-Ann before the show started. It's a subject I find myself talking about with clients a lot because they're in it. They're in one and they're trying to get out of it. And it's kind of like they can get a leg up on the edge and then they get stuck there. And sometimes you need somebody to give you a hand. But I think we should talk a little bit about our experiences with dark nights of the soul, and then we'll talk about and why we have them. And then we'll talk later about how to get out of them. And I know every single person, one of us here has had one. So who would like to start with that?
Oh, this is a subject I can really jump into. I mean, talk about the dark nights. Boy, have I been there. And you know, the whole thing for me that it comes down to is I have to literally stop myself as these events start unfolding and I get more and more knocked down. My frequency goes down. As my frequency goes down, I'm losing faith, hope, all of it. And then I have to really catch myself and go, I better start working on my frequency right now. Because now that they've got me off balance and I'm just looking down the dark tunnel, I got to stop right now. Well, and you really do. You have to like, no.
What kind of experience did you have with Dark Night of the Soul, Roz?
Well, I think it was more.
I lost Roz and Terri-Ann momentarily, but they're back.
A madly in love relationship. We were really not well suited for each other. So that was a big notch, you know, and constant trying to get balance with that. I had set up my whole life in my head that I was going to go to college, get a degree, and be a journalist, you know. That was my whole thing. And I was so focused on that. And then at the same time, I ended up being in a location, you know, if you want to do the kind of work I wanted to do, I needed to be in a large city environment. And when I try to live in a large city, it just, that in itself would take me to the dark night of the soul, because there's just so much energy bombarding me. I have to kind of have myself sequestered in a little space because I make a bubble around myself of light and I keep it in place all the time. And that's the frequency thing. I don't stay in that bubble if my frequency starts to go down. So, I mean, there, you name it. I mean, there was everything going on, and that's a huge part of it. Is you just start being buffeted by you know, losing faith, losing hope, losing motivation, then, you know, you're like, well, it's never going to get better, you know. So you really have to take a really good look at yourself. In my case, I mean, I really had to turn around and go, okay, I better start working on this, because I'm opening the door to be approached by darkness. And believe me, there are entities. I mean, there are these, you know, little creepster entities out there that love to victimize. And so if you're allowing that and you're letting your frequency go, which I was, you know, I remember one day, talk about an event. I was in the middle, believe it or not, I was job hunting. I was unemployed. I was in a part of the country that I wasn't hunting for the right kind of job. And I've always done the work, this kind of work, sort of on the side. And until the last maybe 20 years. But I was crossing an intersection in my car, and I had a Jeep. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and this was the final straw. This was the whole kit and caboodle. But I got the wake up call. I was going across an intersection in Medford, Oregon, in the middle of a downpour. And all of a sudden, I look to my right, and there's this literally a flash flood coming down into this intersection. And I get right to the middle of the intersection. And I was so mad, because this is part of my thing. I have a temper that can blow stuff up, literally. And I took my fist and I hit the steering wheel. And I said, all right, God, what else are you going to do to me now? And my car stopped. I mean, just, that was it. Boom. The words barely got out of my mouth. And God let me know, oh, you really want to continue complaining and being negative? Okay, let me give you a little wake up here. And it was, because literally my car could have been swept. I didn't have the doors on either. I forgot that part. I'm in a Jeep, right? And I'm like driving out in the outback and hiking and camping and doing all the things I like to do then. And whoosh. Here comes this water, and I'm looking out, and the water is coming up to the level where my doors would normally shut. It's just going to go right through the car, and I'm going to go whoosh. And out of nowhere appears this man, who looks like he was living out in the woods. I mean, you know, this is Oregon. He's got the big beard. He's got the hat. The water's going crazy. And he just runs over there and hooks a chain on the front of my Jeep, and I look over, and he has a winch on the back of his little truck that he had, winched me right out of there. And I went, wow. Okay, I got it. Okay, I hear you. I better clean up my act.
I think that same guy saved my vehicle up in Crown King one time. Came out of nowhere, same description, exactly the same thing.
Oh, I'm
nobody in sight.
Those are angels on earth, I'm convinced. These people who do this stuff.
He never said a word. He just pulled my car out of a 6-foot trench and was on his way.
And yep, off down the road. That's exactly what happened. And that was the turning point for me, because that's when it really hit me, like, yeah, I am in the dark night of the soul. Hello, I better get out of here.
Absolutely. Terri-Ann, what was yours?
I've had several, and I think because, like Roz, I can be stubborn sometimes.
Never.
Or not aware and want what I want. So I don't, early on, I just didn't get it. And so I think for me, part of my setting up my evolution as my soul has grown has been really to sort of give me those little baby ones, I call them, which they were not baby ones, I have to tell you. but then build up to the one that would have broke me, which obviously is the one with my son who passed. That was the worst and the most recent dark night of my soul. But going back to, I remember, you know, sitting in the shower, crying and crying. I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't live like this. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. My daughter was very sick. My ex-husband was, you know, horrible. And I couldn't do it anymore. I was like Roz. I was like, look, you want to throw shit at me? Throw it at me. I'm done. Like, I can't do it anymore. And I really had to pull myself up out of these trenches. There was nobody around me at that time that was spiritual. So I had no support base. Like now when Anthony passed, I had a huge support base. At that time, I had no support base to pull me out of that hole. It was going to be me and only me that would be able to pull me out of that hole. So when, like I said, I vividly remember sitting in the shower crying. I hated my life. I did not want to be here anymore. This was the worst thing at that time that I thought would ever happen to me. And I was mad and I was angry and I didn't want to do it, you know? And I remember just something in me. And I think at that time it may have been my grandmother who had passed, but she kept saying, do not be fearful. I could hear her clearly in my head. Don't be fearful. And that really stuck with me. It was like, okay, yeah. I have to do something to get myself out of this. And I started reading. I started researching. I'm a huge researcher. I like to know the answers to everything that's going on. So I'm a huge curious person. I started researching about spirituality and what this was. And like Roz said, my frequency was so low. I mean, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. All these things that we're attributing to keeping me in that space. And then, of course, you know, I had this horrible ex-husband who just kept like pounding me on top of that, you know. So I don't only have my own bad thoughts, I had his bad thoughts that would come in also. And sort of I would bring myself up a little and it would knock me back down, bring myself up. It was literally that I was crawling out of a cave. That's the way it felt to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I always visualize it as we go into this deep, dark pit and it seems like there's no way out. And we're going to talk about that. But you know, there's a running theme here and it's going to continue with my dark nights of the soul, because most of the time they seem to be revolving around relationships. And so, yes, terrible things happened to me as a child, but I didn't have a dark night of the soul. I just sort of dissociated, blanked out. A lot of that stuff. But in adulthood, I married a sociopath. I was 19 when we married. And I went from living with my parents to living with this sociopath. What did I know about that? You know, I lived a very sheltered life and I was with him for 10 years. And it was a nightmare. And honestly, it was, you know, every kind of abuse you can think of. And just, it came to a point where I look back on it and I could see that he was literally trying to tear me down as much as he could, just tear me down and our daughter, unfortunately, you know, and that's where I had to draw the line. Like when it became very clear that when he wasn't going to target me, he turned it all on her. That was my wake up that, hey, you know, you're going to take this abuse, but you cannot have that for your daughter. So I saved myself. I got out of that marriage, you know, and it was really awful. And he did awful things after that. And, but I really thought I stayed for so long because I thought that I was stuck. I could not see a way to get out of that. And then I was okay for a period of time that I got involved with an evil man, literally evil. And I couldn't see it. I didn't want to see it. And that was actually the worst one. Now I'm going to tell you both of these happened because I didn't listen to my angels. And I talk about this in my book that's coming out, but I think that's a big part of dark nights of the soul is when we don't listen to our angelic guidance or even our own guidance. And we forge ahead with what we want to be the reality. So I forged ahead with this evil person. And that was just like, tore me down to a level I'd never experienced before, where I didn't want to live, but I never contemplated suicide. Does that make sense? Like my daughter lost her father to suicide back when she was 15. There's no way I would do that to her. But it took not just me working on myself, but I was so low. It took one of my friends calling me every night just to check in on me, and I'd sob and he'd just listen to me, and my mom calling, "Don't you dare kill yourself." I'm like, "I'm not going to kill myself." You know, people just checking on me, and local friends who were spiritual, because I'd built a spiritual circle there, lifting me up. And I, so many things. I mean, my angels just, once I decided to forge ahead and like get out of that pit, my angels were all over it, but I had to make that decision. And that's what it comes down to for all of us. You have to make a decision to save yourself. And that's the main thing I think we can say today is, and Roz touched on it early on this show of talking about your frequency. When you're depressed, scared, afraid, lonely, hopeless, your frequency is down so low. So working on your frequency, you know, there's a reason why we talk about that subject so much, but particularly with dark nights of the soul, you can't get out of it unless you raise your frequency. And it's really hard. It takes self-discipline, and you have to want to save yourself as bad as the people who love you want to save you. They can help you, and there can be people to help you, and your angels will help you, but you've got to reach out and take that lifeline yourself. I don't know.
I think the hope thing to me is when you reach that, when you hit that frequency where you're low enough and you see no way out, exactly what you're talking about. You see no hope. You're in the darkest of the dark. And isn't it interesting how you can feel that around you? You can feel that darkness. You don't identify it necessarily. You're not able to accurately say, wow, you know, wait a minute, I got to rethink this at that time. And so the people who are willing, you know, your friends and loved ones who are willing to see where you are, a lot of people don't want to see that. So they just, you know, make it up that, oh, you're fine. She's fine. They have to take a look at it. And then they have to be willing to stick that lifeline out and go, hey, you know, wait a minute. You're not seeing all of this. You're not realizing you have all of these other things that are working out well and that are going well. And I mean, you have to find that hope lifeline somehow.
And not everybody who chimes in that wants to talk to you is going to be helpful. I can remember certain people of the, you need to suck it up and move on philosophy. It doesn't work like that. That just makes it worse. It feels like you're being judged. You are. You're being judged and rejected. So if people act like that towards you, that's detrimental. That's going to bring your frequency down. So avoid those people. And the ones who are going to make, you know, any kind of thing about making fun of you. I mean, just anything negative at all about where you're at, other than some compassion, empathy, and asking you how they can help. Anything other than that, you have to keep out of your life, because you're already floundering in the water and those people are pulling on your legs, pulling you under. So the dark work, we've talked about this so many times, and it's because it's true. The dark works in insidious ways, doesn't it, ladies?
Oh, that is the absolute truest word.
It will attack you. It will, and if it can't get to you, it'll attack the people around you. It'll attack the people you love. It'll attack aspects of your life important to you. And that, I think that does have something to do with dark nights of the soul, because my gosh, I don't know a light worker that hasn't had multiple dark nights of the soul.
Right, we've talked about this, right? Because a lot of light workers, they go around thinking everything is, you know, beauty and everything. There is no darkness. And, you know, we don't believe it. We've faced that reality. So we're speaking from our experience. We understand what that reality means. And it is very difficult, you know, going back to thinking, how can you? I remember I had a friend who really was able to hold space for me, but she didn't really understand what holding space meant. But like you said earlier, just listening, to just being supportive and listening, you know, to what I was saying is very helpful. So if you know somebody going through a dark night of the soul, just a lot of times just holding space for them is what they need.
It's true. I mean, I think kindness goes a long way. If it's somebody you know and you think they're going through this, if they've been really low for an extended period of time, if you're aware of some things that have happened to them, don't just think they're going to reach a point on their own where they're going to get out of it. I think they're probably trying really hard, but if they're low enough, they need a hand up. You know, they might have the will. They may have found the will inside themselves to want to get out of it and have no idea how to do that. So that's sometimes something we can do, is just offer that hand. We're not going to do the work for them, but we can say, you know, maybe dust them off and straighten up their hair a little bit and give them a glass of water. It's going to be okay. Work on your frequency, you know, start shedding dark people out of your life. And often, boy, these dark nights of the soul bring up the necessary time to make hard decisions about who you want to allow in your life, how you're going to allow people to treat you, what's acceptable to you, where your boundaries lie. And sometimes that gets messy. Oh, well, you know, I mean, you cannot continue unless you want to have another or an extended dark night of the soul, then something has to change. There's a reason you got to this point. So if you're watching this right now, this is a good time to, you think you're in one, you know you're in one, evaluate the people around you. What is your relationships? What is your work? I think the worst thing for me a long time ago, that first one, was when my job that I absolutely loved turned into a real dark situation at the same time that things got really bad in my marriage. And so I had nowhere to go. I had no safe place to go, no place for respite. And so the smart thing would have been, I could have changed jobs, right? Looking back on that, I could have changed jobs. That would have been something I could have done, but I wasn't thinking straight. And if you're going through this, you're probably not thinking real straight either, because your energy is so depleted.
That's a really good point, is our mind, how our mind, you know, we have to be tuned in with our heart, but conscious in our mind about our thoughts and what our process is, what our thought process actually is. Because when you get into that place where you see no option to resolve, to turn it around, you're at a point where your mind is completely overwhelmed, controlled, out of whack. I mean, literally out of balance. And of course, this is how people end up going into clinical, you know, depression, because it actually alters the brain chemistry. Your serotonin is not in balance anymore. A lot of people suddenly come to the realization, like, wow, I need help here. You know, I need something. And that is very accurate. I mean, you need to rebalance your brain chemistry before you can get yourself, your frequency up. And I think that's a good thing for people to acknowledge, because to discuss lifting your frequency and taking yourself out of that dark place and starting back towards the light is going to require a physiological adjustment of your brain chemistry and your biochemistry too. So, I mean, as you know, your work history of working with psychological issues and having a degree in psychology, I mean, we can talk about frequency all we want, but it takes more than just words. It takes a physiological change, and it is metaphysical because it's a spiritual change then too.
It definitely is. I mean, so many things go on so many levels, and You know, this second one happened before I started doing my work, spiritual work full time, but it really is what propelled me to do my spiritual work full time, because I just felt such a drive. Like once I got my feet under me again and I could think straight, I felt such a drive to work my mission, to do what my angels have been telling me to do and stop fighting it. But what was I going to say about this, about working your mission? So I think that there's no way to get out of it totally by yourself. You got to make the decision, but there's a lot of things you can do. One thing, and this is this has nothing to do with spirituality, but it's something I did. And I came out of it with such a positive view on it. One of my friends said, why don't you try CODA, which is Codependence Anonymous? And I thought, okay, I don't know if I'm a codependent, but yeah, I want to go to that. It doesn't really matter. I think if you are at that place where your self-esteem is low, where you've put someone else above yourself for any reason and neglected your own needs, that you could benefit from that 12-step group. And it really teaches you fantastic boundaries. And you come out of it with so many insights about people that you can be forewarned to not let that kind of person in your life again, and not let yourself be sucked into that kind of relationship, and not just in a romantic relationship, but in any fashion in your life. So there's some very straightforward things too that are very helpful that have nothing to do with spirituality. I took an approach all across the board. I was sort of just reaching out, and any lifeline that was handed to me, man, I was hanging on to it like this for dear life, trying to just get every bit of benefit I could out of it. But something that helped immensely, and I don't want to forget to say this, is cutting cords. If your dark night of the soul is about a person, cut cords with them, please. If you don't know how to do that, send me an email. I'll send you a document, because you can't just do it once. But what it does is it cuts emotional cords with that person so that you can think about them, you can remember what happened, and feel nothing emotionally about it. It relieves you of all of the turmoil of the emotional attachment to what happened to you, so that you're free to just work on yourself, build yourself up, create the life you want. And if that relationship works out again later and you want to attach again, you can. It's not forever, but it sure makes things easier when you're moving forward. And that's something, you know, I deal with my clients a lot. First thing, cut cords.
I think, you know, the look in the mirror thing to me is huge. You know, really distance yourself from yourself and really look at yourself as, you know, what do I need? What does this person need? You know, and who am I? You know, on the inside, I'm myself. I am not controlled, and I am not, my entire life does not revolve around another person. You know, I have my own abilities, my own gifts, my own, I'm a great believer. For me, what, you know, always brings me back is prayer and affirmation and visualization to get myself back where I'm seeing the path that I'm meant to be on very clearly. And I'm on that journey of bringing myself out of those dark pits, the dark night of the soul. And those are scary places, because people, you know, I say again, I don't think people realize, you know, there is an ether world. There is, in these different frequencies, there are beings, there are entities, and some of these dark night of the soul entities that approach us, you really have to get your power lined up to be able to push them back out of your energy field, your auric field, because these are powerful, strong, low frequency, negative situations that we're being surrounded by these beings. And I say that, and I know that there's going to be a certain percentage of people who are going to go, oh no, that, you know, you only do that when, you know, I don't want to hear any accolades or any for being able to see them or being able to do whatever. The bottom line here is I came here seeing those beings from the time I was a child, and I see them so that I can use that gift to help others get them out of their field. And it's really important to realize that this is going on. You know, we want to live in this little conscious world where we think none of this is happening. But when you look back on history and you read and you look at very spiritual, you know, information that's been out for thousands of years, they all acknowledge that this is real. You know, it's not a fantasy.
So, I see them too. I wish I didn't. And interestingly, I didn't see them until I was in that relationship with the evil person. And that's when I started seeing them, and I still do, you know, so I guess once that veil is down, it's down. Tarianna, I know that you experienced that with this most recent dark night of the soul and those entities coming in. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and I think for me, a lot of that was finding my power. So even with my other dark nights of the soul, I don't necessarily think that I found my power. This one, when Anthony died, really, those dark entities, they were going to take me out. There was no doubt in my mind that I was leaving. I was probably like this far from suicide. So, you know, it was like this close. And I knew from the work that I do and from being with you guys that I had to get into my, that was the most difficult thing to do ever when you don't want to be here, you know, because I, at that time, I did not want to be here. So I think a lot of that was, I was fighting almost between two worlds. Do I want to be here? Do I not want to be here? What is it that I really want? And they were able to swoop in and then really put their claws in and really attack. For me, it took everything in my power to stand up, you know, and to decide that I did want to be here. I do have more work to do. And so for, you know, with me, learning to get into that power, learning to fight, whether it's dark entities or the people that you're involved with that are dark. You know, I think you know people that you surround yourself with, and you know whether they bring down your energy or not. A lot of my clients come in and they may not know the verbiage to describe what they're feeling, but they're able to discern that this person doesn't make me feel good, right? And it's about for them learning to stand in their power, and how do they learn to stand in their power and stand up for themselves. It's really, from my experience, I have to tell you, it is one of the most difficult things that I ever did, but really well worth it, I believe, is to learn that aspect of being here as a human and standing in our power. I think I was always a warrior. I know you guys were always warriors. So it's no surprise to me, but when you're that far down, it's really difficult to pull yourself back up. But there is hope. I always say it may feel like it's hopeless. A post I did recently, I said, it may feel like it's hopeless, but there is always hope.
There is, and it just means maybe you can't see it right now because of where you're at mentally and emotionally. And later, you know it's true, because later when you look back, you see your options, you see your choices you had, even though you couldn't then in the middle of it. And I wanted to say too, like, just because you get out of one doesn't mean you're impervious to another. And give yourself time to heal and be very careful. Once you get out of that dark night of the soul, be very careful for a while of getting involved with people, like being very discerning about who you allow in your field, in your life. I made a mistake when I moved up to Sedona right after I got out of that situation. And I was still, I met Roz then. So she knew that I had been through a little piece of hell. And I was very vulnerable still. And I physically was ill. still building my energy up. And I ended up working at a place that was just toxic, but it helped me, you know, that's how I met Roz. And then it brought some people into my life who ended up being incredibly toxic. So, and then I ended up in a house that had, you know, the demonic entity there. So I was going through stuff with different people being awful who were dark, and this dark stuff at my house. And that was just another dark night in itself that turned into a whole lot of physical assault and physical things on me. That so these things can happen, again, very insidiously. You know, it's not always, I want to be very clear, it's not always about who you're involved with in a romantic relationship. It's usually about people. It's usually a person or persons who bring you into that dark night of the soul, but it can be anybody in your life in any capacity, any relationship. I'm much more careful now about who I allow in my home, who I allow to work with us, who I'm going to be friends with, where I live, you know, just all these little pieces. And if you're watching, chances are you're a light worker. Chances are that you're on a spiritual journey of your own, or why would you be watching or listening to this show? And you've got questions, you're working on yourself too. This is just something to really think about moving forward and just being extra discerning, because light workers tend to see people's potential, not their reality. And that is an inherent fault we have that we need to be very aware of. It's how we end up in these situations a lot of the time, that other people are like, hell, I could tell he was dark from day. Everyone, I can't even tell you, once people that I thought were our friends, once the relationship broke up, they're like, I never understood why you're so light and he's so dark. What were you doing with that dark person? And it's like, I just felt so silly. Like, how did I not see that for what it was? Because the dark is insidious. And they can trick you, and they can make you see things the way they want you to see it. And if you get far enough into the dark night of the soul, you're so torn down, you don't trust yourself anymore. So you want to catch it as soon as you realize you're starting to doubt your own intuition or doubt what your eyes are showing you, that you might be being gaslighted. You know, somebody telling you what they want you to see as the reality when you know that's not true. And that's not just in romantic relationships either. There's plenty of people who like to gaslight you. If you don't know what that is, look it up. But these are the things that, you know, I just hope we can help somebody. If you're in it now, you're not alone. You don't have to do this alone. You know, that's a lot of times people come to us and it's because they're in a dark night of the soul and they have no idea what to do, but they're ready to get out of it. Nobody wants to be in that place.
True. And it really takes a tremendous amount of, you know, it's a combination really of your logical mind, and I keep saying this, but it's really true, and your spiritual heart. You've got to find that balance where you're able to bring in both aspects. We need both of those tools in our lives.
Can't go floating around all airy fairy and hope things to go well.
That's the word I was looking for, airy fairy.
I've known some people who bragged about, I'm airy fairy. And I'm thinking, that is not something you want to brag about. If you recognize that about yourself, ground. You need some grounding. We're not helium balloons, people. Though sometimes it might feel it if you get untethered. But there's a lot of tools out there. And I do think grounding is another really important one, because you've been pulled off your grounding. You've been pulled out of your grounding, and those, you know, doing earthing where you put your feet on soil or grass or in running water for like 30 minutes a day, bare feet, or you can get a grounding mat. Roz and her boyfriend Ed turned me onto that. I have one. I put it at the base of my feet, and while I'm working, I get the benefits of that. Just, you know, put my bare feet on it and get that. Does wonders. Or you can sleep on them.
I have one that I actually is at the foot of my bed, and then I have one on my pillow, because I'm never outside grounding with Mother Earth, very rare. I'm not a barefoot person.
Not in Arizona.
No. So, you know, if I lived by the beach, yeah. But
you could, can you ground on sand, Roz, or you just put your feet in the ocean? That's what I would do.
Both. So it's really, there are so many little things about getting yourself back. I mean, back from this dark night of the soul. And that needs to be brought forth too, because, you know, you don't ever have the expectation that you're just not thinking you're going to end up in that place where you just flattened emotionally, physically, spiritually. And then you start to dig yourself out of that, what you were calling the dark pit. And it really requires a level of extreme commitment, faith, hope, outlook. And your logical mind has to come in here. And this is, you know, this is, I have a lot of people say to me, well, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety, or I'm struggling with depression, and I don't want to do anything that would make it worse. Of course we don't, but we have to get ourselves to level before we can really start to address those issues. And, you know, I think the dark night of the soul, part of it is also that moment that sure hit me when I've had a few of these encounters where I really had to say, okay, I have to do this for myself. I have to get myself, nobody's going to fix this for me. I have to get myself back where I'm supposed to be. And I know I'm supposed to be there. So.
You said something earlier, Roz, that I think is really important. And that's, and I'm just going to emphasize that a little more, to stop thinking. You didn't say this part, but instead of thinking so much about what you've been through or what's happening or that other person or persons, every day, start the day by, what do I need? And if you start thinking about those other things and perseverating about them, what do I need right now? Do I need to drink something? Am I dehydrated? Do I need to eat? Do I need to rest? Do I need to take a little break? You know, start tuning into your needs. And I think that is a critical part of this, because we lose ourselves in a dark night of the soul. We really do. We lose ourselves. So regaining that is getting much more in touch with what you need as you go through your day, detaching your thoughts from what's happened to you, what is happening around you, and going more inward to what your needs are in the moment each day. Any last thoughts on that from you, Terry Ann, on any of this?
I start with a thing where I put my hands on my heart and I say, you know, dear me, what do you need today? And I really tune into that.
I love
like that. You were saying, because even on a daily basis with us, you know, the work that we do, our families, I mean, it can take you away from your practice. And sometimes we forget about what it is that we need. So just holding your hands on your heart, tuning in and listening. And it is difficult sometimes when you hear the word rest and you have, you know, kids running around and you have to cook dinner and sports and all this stuff. But it really is about then doing what you're being told to do. If it is rest, just find that time. It doesn't have to be a long time. Just find that time to rest.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered this subject really well. And again, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us. That email is in the show description. Don't be shy. We like hearing from you. Tune in next Friday when the topic is angelic intervention. We're going to be talking about real life stories of angelic intervention, what that's like, the kind of circumstances you might need it, and how to get it. All kinds of good things for that. So following the dark with the light. In the meantime, we hope you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters
hope you have an enlightening week.